from Ziggy Zombie.
Oh, sorry. It's fine. We can cut it out.
Hey, everybody. This is Ivory and Ivory. I'm your co-host, Michael Regan.
I'm the other co-host, Nick Miller.
I'm your other co-host, Nick
Miller. Oh, boy. We're not alone in here. We're not going to introduce all the characters because this is a bonus episode.
We'll write it in the description.
Yeah, description. But what's happening right now is y'all ready for this? We're going to be reading a table reading.
Yeah, table it's a Seinfeld episode, The Baby Shower.
All right. We got a bunch of our friends together.
A bunch of friends.
I guess we can go through the cast after we're done.
We could do it now.
We might as well.
Even though you just said you weren't going to do it, but you can do it.
Let's just go around the room and say everybody who's here. So it's Nick, me.
Morgan.
Sean.
Joe.
Alex.
Dude, it's Matt Campbell.
Andrew.
Emily.
Nick.
Mike.
Morgan!
Sean!
John!
Alex!
Dude, that can't
be. Andrew!
Ellie.
Nick!
Mike!
And that's how you play 20 names. Okay, now.
So I guess, are we just gonna go?
Yeah, we'll start it off. Sean,
you're
doing stage directions.
Should we got Sean on stage directions?
Yeah.
Act 1, Scene A, Interior Coffee Shop Day. Jerry, George, and Elaine are sitting at a booth.
She's pregnant? Leslie is pregnant? There is no justice.
She's the performance artist, right?
Yeah, performance artist. She's a real performer, a real trooper.
What's her husband's name again? Chip? Kip? Skip?
Todd.
Todd, oh yeah. He's a Kennedy.
No, he's not.
Come on, he's like a third cousin or something.
By marriage.
Oh, by marriage, yeah. We went to their wedding. You should have heard him talking about Chappaquiddick. Trying to blame the whole thing on bad directions.
That woman was unequivocally the worst date of my life.
Oh, pardon me for trying to set you up with a beautiful, intelligent woman.
What, you don't think I can attract beautiful, intelligent women?
Thin ice, George, very thin ice.
Maybe for her new performance piece she'll give birth on stage.
She stopped performing.
Oh, what a huge blow to the culture.
You believe this guy? He holds a grudge like Khomeini.
She dragged me down to that warehouse on the waterfront in Brooklyn to see one of her performances.
Oh, and she cooks dinner on stage for some celebrity.
God, she's cooking dinner for God. She's yelling and screaming, and next thing I know, she throws a big can of chocolate syrup all over my new red shirt.
It was an accident.
Oh, yeah, sure, accident, right. She was aiming right at me like she was putting out a fire. Then, for the rest of the show, I'm sitting there with chocolate all over my shirt. Flies are landing on me. I'm boiling. I'm fantasizing all the things I'm going to say when I see her backstage. And later, finally backstage, when I talk to her, I'm like a little groveling worm. What kind of chocolate was that? Do you throw any other foods?
He thought he still had a chance.
And then, she leaves with somebody else. Never even said goodbye. Never called me back. Never apologized. Nothing. Like I was dirt.
Whatever happened with that shirt?
I still have it. The collar's okay. I wear it under sweaters.
I don't know what I'm gonna do. She asked me to give her a baby shower.
Ask you? You're not gonna do that, are you?
For anyone else, never. But, Leslie, I have a problem saying no to her. For some reason, I seem to want her approval.
Let Maria Shriver give her a baby shower.
That's not what I can do for you. Ask what you can do for me.
Yeah, ich bin ein Sucker.
Oh, would you two stop with the Kennedys? Why does everybody make such a big deal about the Kennedys? What is this fascination? Who cares? It's all so boring.
She doesn't deserve a baby shower. She deserves a baby monsoon. She deserves Rosemary's baby.
I do have a teeny little problem, though.
Never said goodbye. Never apologized. Nothing.
George gets up and goes to the restroom.
See, I was going to give the shower in my apartment.
But?
My roommate has Lyme disease.
Lyme disease? I thought she had Epstein-Barr syndrome.
She has this in addition to the Epstein-Barr. It's like Epstein-Barr with a twist of Lyme disease.
How did she get Lyme disease?
I don't know. She did some outdoor version of Hair in Danbury, Connecticut.
They still do that play?
It's a classic.
With the nudity.
I guess. She must have rolled over on a tick during 11.
George sits back down at the booth.
Never said goodbye. Goodbye!
Explain to me how this baby shower thing works.
What do you want
to
know?
Well, I mean, does it ever erupt into drunken orgy violence?
Rarely.
There's no hazing of the fetus or anything, is there?
No.
When's this supposed to be?
Saturday.
Saturday. Well, I have a show in Buffalo on Saturday. They're not gonna bust up my apartment or anything, are they?
I'll take full responsibility. You won't regret it.
Because I've seen these pregnant women. And they sometimes misjudge their fetal girth. Just like one wrong turn and boom! An entire buffet swept off the table.
Someday, before I die, mark my words, I'm going to tell that woman exactly what I think of her. I'll never be able to forgive myself until I do.
And if you do...
I still won't be able to forgive myself, but at least it won't be about this.
Dissolve 2, Act 1, Scene B, Interior, Jerry's Apartment, Day. Close up on TV screen, it broadcasts a completely snowy picture with horizontal lines virtually unwatchable. Pull back to reveal Jerry sitting on his knees in front of the TV adjusting dials. Kramer hovers over him.
What are you doing this for? Look at you.
Quiet! I'm trying to get a picture.
You don't have to do this! The guy's waiting at my house.
Leave me alone.
It's a one-time fee, $150. Why live like this?
I'm not getting a legal cable.
Oh, so what are you going to do? Are you going to wait for the cable companies to resolve the dispute? They're going to be in court for years.
No, I read in the paper.
Oh, the paper.
Well, they might hook us up again.
Oh, God, you're so naive. All the cable companies care about is the big Namu.
Jerry smacks the TV.
Oh, look at you. You're banging on things. Pathetic. Just wasting your life. I'm offering you 56 channels, movies, sports, nudity, and it's free for life.
Stop shouting. You're ruining the reception.
Oh, can you hear yourself? Ken, do you know what you're saying?
What you're suggesting is illegal.
It's not illegal.
It's against the law.
Well, yeah.
Just hold this. Can you hold that?
Look, will you at least let me bring the guy over? He's an amazing man. He's a Russian immigrant. He escaped from the gulag. He's like the Sakharov of cable guys. He'll slow down your gas meter. He sells slugs, Jerry. Slugs to the subway.
A real human rights nut, huh?
Yeah, he's intense, man.
I don't know. What if I get caught?
Oh, you're not going to get caught. Look, let me get him. Man, it's the 90s. It's hammer time. Come on, just let me get him.
Kramer drops the rabbit ears. Jerry throws up his hands in exasperation. Kramer exits and returns with the Russian cable guy, Anatoly Tabaknik. And his assistant, Tabaknik, mumbles, shakes, and laughs. Wanders around the apartment. Jerry is confused.
You know, why don't we wait? Because I'm going out of town tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay.
No problem. Yeah, you'll have the whole thing inside installed by the time you get back.
Every time I turn on the TV, sirens are gonna go off. They're gonna track me down like a dog. I know it.
No, look now, Jerry, it's no risk, I swear. The Mets have 75 games on cable this year.
Jerry pauses. He is stunned. Then, with sudden resolve...
Put it in.
You won't regret it.
While Jerry mutters, Kramer rubs his hands together with glee. He begins to do a shimmy with reluctant Jerry while he chants...
Jerry's gonna be a cable boy. Cable boy, a cable boy.
Dissolve 2, Act 1, Scene C, Interior Jerry's Apartment. Jerry enters. He is carrying his luggage. A group of men, officious in suits, wait for him. Two are examining the cable. Others simply look around.
Mr. Steinfeld?
Steinfeld!
We're with the FBI. You want to tell us about your cable hookup?
My cable hookup? What about it?
It's been illegally installed, Mr. Steinfeld.
It has? I've been out of town. How did you know?
Another agent leads Kramer out of the bedroom.
Jerry, I had to tell them. I had to. I had no choice. They were onto the scam from the very beginning.
You're in very serious trouble, Mr. Steinfeld.
Wait a minute, hold on. We're just patsies. We're just a couple of users. We never sold the stuff. What about the Russian guy? The Russian guy is the guy you want.
Tabaknik steps out of the bedroom. He is dressed like the other FBI men. He speaks with no trace of an accent.
Mr. Steinfeld, Agent Stone, FBI, undercover.
Jerry glances around, makes a mad dash for the door.
No, Jerry!
Jerry is gunned down in a hailstorm of bullets. Kramer leans next to a fallen Jerry, cupping his head in his hands.
Cable boy, what have you done to my little cable boy?
Cut 2, Act 1, Scene D, Interior Airplane. Jerry shudders. A stewardess approaches.
Excuse me, can I get something to drink?
I'm afraid not.
What's with this airline? What are you, cutting out the drinks now?
No, sir. We're flying into a blizzard. Please fasten your seatbelt. We're making an emergency landing.
Are they gonna go over the instructions again?
We pull back to see the passenger next to Jerry. Passenger offers his hand.
My name is Bill. I might be the last person you ever see.
End of Act 1. Act 2, Scene E. Interior George's car, night. George drives. He wears an unzipped coat and a sweater, revealing a bright red collar. Jerry's in the passenger seat.
Oh. Sounds like a rough trip.
Oh, fire engines, ambulances all along the runway. And then when we landed safely, they all seemed so disappointed.
So the college canceled the gig?
Well, there was so much snow. The roads were closed. I really appreciate you picking me up. Thanks again.
Forget it.
No, really. An airport run.
It's nothing.
It's one thing if I asked you, could you do me a favor? But to suggest it.
When you told me what you went through on the plane, it makes you stop and think. You appreciate having a real friend.
You know, if Richie Brands did this, I'd be suspicious. You know, he's always got some ulterior motive.
Ulterior motive.
Wait a minute. Don't take the bridge. Get off here. We can't go back to my place. Elaine's having the shower.
What, tonight? Now?
Yeah. I forgot all about it. All right, it's no big deal. We'll just go back to your place.
My place? No. I hate my place. I don't want to go back to my place.
You want to get a bite?
Yeah, I would. It's just, you know, I ate a whole pot roast.
Well, so what should we do?
Shouldn't we at least drop off your bag?
Suddenly, Jerry zeroes in on George's shirt collar, then reaches over and yanks the sweater down.
Red shirt! That's the red shirt!
What are you talking about?
You're wearing the chocolate shirt!
I am? What a strange coincidence.
Nice try, my friend. But you gotta get up pretty early in the morning.
You gotta let me go over there.
What are you gonna do? Badger a pregnant woman at her own baby shower? What, are you gonna take it off and make her rinse it in club soda?
No. I'm gonna hold it under her nose so she can smell the scent of stale Bosco that I had to live with for 3 years, and I'm gonna say, remember this shirt, baby? Well, now it's payback time.
Cut to Act 2, Scene F. Interior, Jerry's apartment. Leslie is talking to a group of girls, including Elaine.
We just bought an apartment on Riverside Drive. Bernard Getz, his mother, used to live there.
So where's Todd?
Up in Hyannisport.
Oh my God, Hyannisport with the Kennedys? Who else is up there? Is Rose up there?
So, when's your due date?
March 20th, 9 a.m.
You know the time?
I'm having a planned C-section. My therapist told me if I go through labor, I might get psychotic.
The girls mull this over.
Leslie, whatever happened to Sergeant Shriver? Is he still with them? You don't hear much about him these days. Is he out of the loop?
Leslie takes a bite of the food.
Elaine, who catered this? Sears?
Suddenly, the door opens. Kramer, Tabachnik, and his assistant enter. Tabachnik looks over this bevy of women and nods approvingly. The women stop dead in their tracks and then nervously disperse.
What is this? What are you doing here?
We're pulling in the cable.
The cable? No. I'm having the party here. You can't do this now.
No, we have to do this now.
Tabachnik and his assistant are leering at the women.
Who's this guy?
Oh, which one?
Both of them.
Oh, they're Soviet cable guys.
Okay, does Jerry know about this?
Oh, yeah, it's all authorized, yeah.
You can't. You can't do this now.
Elaine, do you know how booked up this guy is? Now, if I send him away, it's going to take Jerry months to get him back. He won't like that.
All right, just do it fast and then get out.
Kramer snaps his finger, crisply giving the order.
Anatoly! Look, it's only going to take a few minutes. Then you and the gals can take a load off. Watch something on Lifetime.
Cut to Act 2, Scene G. Interior, George's car, night.
And what if we go up there? What are you going to say to her?
What am I going to say?
Yeah.
What did you go out with me for? Just to dump chocolate on my shirt and then just dump me altogether? I don't deserve that kind of treatment. What, you don't have the common courtesy to return my calls to apologize? You think I'm some sort of a loser that likes to be abused and ignored? Some sort of masochist who enjoys being humiliated? You think you can just avoid me like I have some sort of disease? You have the disease! You may be beautiful and rich and physically just unbelievable, but you sicken me. You disgust me, you and everyone like you.
You'll never say that to her face.
Watch me.
Cut to Act 2, Scene H. Interior, Jerry's apartment, night. Kramer is flirting with a female guest.
Oh, yeah, I ate the whole apple, the core, stem, seeds, everything.
Kramer, look at him. Look, he's eating all the food.
Yeah, well, you know, there are many differences between American and Soviet cultures that you're not aware of. See, in Russia, the cable guy, they got the whole run of the house. Yeah, that's tradition.
Kramer turns back to the woman.
Did you ever eat the bark of a pineapple?
Tabachnik and his assistant start arguing in front of the TV. It escalates into stiff arm chokeholds.
Kramer
sees the fight in progress.
Excuse me.
As women watch, horrified, Kramer breaks it up. Tabachnik then walks to the bathroom while his assistant returns to the work. Kramer returns to the woman with whom he was flirting. Tabachnik bangs on the bathroom door while shouting in Russian. A woman finally opens it. She can barely get out as he pushes his way in and slams the door shut. Jerry enters with George behind him. Elaine immediately confronts him.
What are you doing here? I thought you were out of town for the weekend.
The show's canceled. There was a blizzard.
I can't believe you told Kramer it's okay to put the cable in during the shower. Jerry, look, look, they've eaten everything.
Leslie approaches.
Jerry, what a surprise. I thought you were out of town.
Well, Leslie, sometimes the road less traveled is less traveled for a reason.
Elaine heads for George.
George, don't even think about it. Don't even dream about it.
About what?
Tabaknik sticks his head in the bathroom, out of the bathroom.
Kramer, Kramer, Kramer!
Kramer rushes over. Kramer quickly closes the door, and he and Tabaknik slink away. Tabaknik is joined by his assistant at the food table. They begin eating again. George is ready. He takes his sweater off and heads for Leslie by the dessert table. Leslie is eating a large chunk of chocolate cake. George approaches her.
Leslie!
Yeah?
George? George Costanza?
Hi.
You, guess you don't remember me, but we actually kind of, went out a couple of years ago. Once. Remember?
Vaguely.
You took me to one of your shows.
And?
And, it was quite good. In fact, you incorporated me into the show. I'm not actually a performer, although my parents felt I had talent.
Suddenly, we hear off camera.
Jerry?
Angle. A woman with vengeance in her eyes approaches Jerry. Jerry looks at her puzzled. Slowly, all attention is focused on this exchange.
Remember me?
I'm sorry,
Mary Cantardi. No, doesn't ring a bell, Jerry? We had a date 3 years ago. You took me to one of your shows.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember.
Told me to call you. Oh, shit. Told me you had a great time. Said you'd call me the next day.
Well, I'm sure I meant to call. I probably just lost your...
Liar! Liar! You were never going to call me. You thought you could waltz through the rest of your life and never bump into me again. But you were wrong, Jerry. You were wrong. What do you think? I'm some sort of poor, pathetic wretch?
No, I don't think that.
Some person who could be dismissed and ignored? Some insignificant piece of dust? Some person who doesn't deserve your respect and your attention? You're the one that doesn't deserve my respect and my attention. You're the insignificant piece of dust.
She feigns spitting on the floor and storms away. Angle, George and Leslie. She's bored to tears.
Actually, I never had any formal training. I guess I'd be better suited for improvs or something.
Mary, in a mad rush for the door, shoves Leslie into George, depositing her chocolate cake on his shirt. It's a bullseye.
Thanks a lot.
Angle, front door. A few women begin filing out, saying goodbyes to a dejected Elaine at the door.
I'm sorry you have to go.
Yeah, I really have to be going.
Angle, Jerry, spotting Tabaknik, his assistant and Kramer, by the TV, crosses to them.
All right, listen. I've changed my mind about this whole thing. I don't want the cable.
Jerry! Don't be a fool.
You don't want?
No, I don't want. So tell me, what I owe you for your trouble?
Tabaknik confers with his assistant in Russian, then...
$400.
$400? You told me $150.
Angle, front door. Elaine is still by the door. Leslie has her coat on, about to leave.
I'm going, obviously.
Oh, Leslie, I'm so sorry about everything that went on here tonight. You know, I had no idea...
Elaine, you know, I was watching you tonight and I realized something. You're just like you were in college.
Oh, thank you.
Leslie leaves.
Like you were in college.
Leslie re-enters, calls out to the bedroom.
Come on, let's go.
George emerges from the bedroom, carrying gifts, obviously embarrassed.
I'll be right back.
George exits. Back to Jerry, Tabaknik, and Kramer.
I'm not paying $400! I don't even want the thing! What are you gonna do?
Cut to Act 2, Scene J. Interior, Jerry's apartment. Later. Close-up of a TV screen. The screen is cracked, creating a spider-webbed fissure. The set is on, but merely makes some unrecognizable electronic noise. Pull back to reveal Jerry, George, and Elaine slumped on chairs staring at the TV.
Every woman on the face of the earth has complete control of my life. And yet, I want them all. Is that irony?
Why can't I meet a Kennedy? I saw John Jr. once downtown. I was on a bus. I hit the ding. It didn't stop.
All right. I said I had a good time and I'd call, but who takes that literally?
Kramer enters and sticks his head in the door.
Hey, come on over. Dr. Zarago's on cable in 5 minutes. I'm making popcorn.
Kramer leaves. Fade out. End of episode.
Wow. That was real exciting.
Nail-biter at points.
Nail-biter at points. When Mary comes and she's yelling at Jerry, I didn't know. I was biting my nails, yo.
Gonna turn into a baby monsoon.
Oh, Rosemary's baby over here. So I guess that's it, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's everything, I guess. Goodbye, Vereen. Goodbye.